In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be with you today. You know, I went from my my typical 5-mile walk when I'm home, and I was prepared for typical Oregon weather. So I looked out the window, and I just couldn't believe it. It's actually an amazingly beautiful day today. The sun is out. There's hardly a cloud in the sky. It's going to reach almost 58 degrees today, which is, again, very unusual for Oregon this time of year, early November. So I just it was just glorious going for the walk today. And today, of course, is Wednesday. You know what that means? It's Word of God Wednesday today. And we're going to be taking a look at the readings for this Sunday, which is the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. And so we're getting close to the end of the church year here. You know, Advent's creeping up on us. But it's also another themed Sunday. This Sunday is Stewardship Sunday. And, you know, just like I said, we have some Sundays that are themed. So, for example, we had Mission Sunday. Just a week or so ago, we had Vocations Sunday. You know, so we have a few Sundays throughout the year that are kind of themed Sundays. Like, I think Pope Francis started Grandparents Sunday, Grandparents Day, you know, and so we have Stewardship Sunday. Now, when this Sunday rolls around, some people say, oh, no, this is the Sunday where Father's going to talk about money, or they're going to do the big push for the Archdiocesan or Diocesan Appeal Fund and all that kind of stuff. And people have sadly and mistakenly associated stewardship with money and finances. Is that an element of it? Yes. But we're going to talk about authentic stewardship today as part of our scriptural reflection on the readings for the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time, of course, year B, which is Mark. And so we're going to hear the first reading is 1 Kings 17, the wonderful widow of Zarephath story. Then in Hebrews, we have the second reading is from the letter to Hebrews. And then the gospel, of course, is from Mark, and it's the widow's mite. You know, so we're going to take a look at those scriptures and then reflect on it with the proper understanding of authentic stewardship of time, talent, and treasure. It's not all about money, so we're breaking open God's Word. Grab your Bibles on this Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. I always love these Wednesdays, not only because we're reflecting on Scripture, we kind of get a double dose, because, of course, we have our Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth, which, of course, is available on its own podcast. So you can go to Podcast Central at EWTN.com. You can go to on the EWTN app. And you can also go to, you know, Spotify or iTunes or something like that, and also listen to the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth, its own separate podcast. All right. Awesome. And on this beautiful day, you know, the other thing, obviously, it's the day after the elections. And, you know, we know that the president-elect is Donald Trump. And I know that, let's be honest, for some people, it's kind of, you know, that news ruined their day today. But you know what? Here's the thing. Look, here's the thing. We got to remember who's in charge. You know, the president ultimately is not in charge. No matter who the person is, God is in charge. Our peace needs to come from resting in the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. No matter what happens in life, God is in charge. All right. So take solace in the fact that that we rest on the rock, on the solid foundation of our faith in Jesus Christ and the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And that's where our peace comes from. That's where our refuge comes from. And so, of course, we want to pray for both President elect Trump, and also for the Madam Vice President, Kamala Harris. you know, let's just pray for a peaceful transition, a peaceful. I'm actually glad this whole thing's over, because I'm just sick and tired of the anger and the vitriol and the name calling and the, you know, the polemics and everything. So now that it's past us, you know, let's move forward. Let's move forward in faith. Let's move forward in hope, and let's move forward in a tremendous spirit of solace and peace. And pray and fast, you know, for our nation and for our families and for our church. Right? That's what we need to do. That's how we respond as people of faith. Not the way that I'm sure, like I said, I don't watch television, but I'm sure that if I were to take a scan through the channels, there's going to be all kinds of people, you know, some people cheering like it's, you know, like it's the second coming of Christ, you know, like Christ entering into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And it's because some people think it's going to be the crucifixion, you know, so there's people reacting all kinds of ways. But you know what? Let's get our heads and our hearts in the right place as people of faith, and pray and don't worry. You know, so all right. And on this beautiful day, bringing you this amazing show, Beacon of Truth. And that's because we have great folks working behind the scenes. Matt Kabinski screening the calls, and Charles Beery doing social media. And our producer, who's just an amazing man of God and an awesome musician, and the cooker of the turkey for Thanksgiving, Ace McKay.
That would Ace, be I. How you doing? I am, yes, all of those things.
Yes, you are. How you doing today?
I am good. It's funny that you mentioned turkey, because my wife and I have started like thinking about what the laundry list of things we need to do between now and Thanksgiving to prepare for the big feast. But everybody comes to our house. So it's, you know, who's coming? Did we make sure we invited these people, this group? You know, who's new that doesn't know what's happening? But yeah, so I need this weekend to pull out my apron and make sure it's clean from last year, that I didn't just throw it back in the drawer, you know, and there's flour or whatever all covered in it. But I get excited as each week gets closer and closer to Thanksgiving.
All right. Wonderful. Yeah. You know, my wife worked a little bit late last night. So the twins and I decided to do dinner. Mm. And so we got obviously food trucks are a big deal now. Yeah. And they're all over Portland. So we have a couple of food truck parks not too far from our house, actually. So we decided to do a kind of a Mexican one yesterday. And so we had, you know, dinner, the three of us, and then we tried to watch something on Netflix, you know, but talked about Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going to help with the cooking. Obviously, my son's a chef, and then so he's going to be helping. And then, you know, his twin sister likes to bake, you know, and then Colleen's going to cook the meal. And I'm not doing anything. I'm just maybe going to the store to buy stuff.
Right.
But then again, like we talked about before, Ace, my job is cleaning up.
Yeah. There, you know, and everybody needs to have that one person.
I'm fourth in the lineup. I'm the cleanup hitter.
Yeah. No, everybody. And that's the way I used to be, that way. Like, I would cook so I didn't have to clean. But now I kind of clean as I go along. So really, by the end of it, if anything, my wife's main job is helping me navigate how to fit it all back in the fridge until it's time to eat again. So we've even talked about this year being the year that we finally get the garage refrigerator. So that way we have a place to put the leftovers or, you know, the extra sodas and sweet tea and all that good stuff. So trying to think that, okay, it's expanded beyond what our refrigerator can do. Like, it's huffing and puffing at the end of the day. Like, I can't keep it cold anymore. Just eat it.
Yeah, you know, and yeah, one of the things I actually enjoy, I actually don't mind cleaning up, be honest with you. And what I do is, you know, I break down the what's left of the turkey, you know, and I sort it. Yeah. And put it in the Tupperware, and I figure out the in the fridge how we're going to stack everything so it's easy to get to.
Yeah.
So when people want leftovers, one, they'd have to dig through all the stuff, and you know, we try to segment a section of the refrigerator for leftovers. Of course, my mother-in-law and my brother-in-law will take stuff home as well, leftovers home. So
good.
It's actually not that bad. And with the, you know, not all the kids being home, it's just basically my wife and I and the twins. So it's not that bad. So and I look forward to it. Because I'm the one that gets to organize things. You
right.
know? So I like to kind of have
it's
that control.
It's therapeutic, right?
Yeah, it is. It really is.
I get that.
It really is. And I'm just an organized, structured person anyway. So I like being there by myself and cleaning and getting the dishes stacked away, you know, so it's the most efficient yes. use of the dishwasher and scrubbing the pots and stuff like that. And, you know, it's very refreshing, very therapeutic, very prayerful. Everybody else is doing their thing, playing games, usually Monopoly or Boggle or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm just there doing my thing.
So you're in there playing Jenga. Stack, move.
Yeah, stack and move. Right, that's right. All right. Well, it's Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. We're taking a look at the readings for the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time, which is also Stewardship Sunday. Would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Woo! The crying guitar is for you, my friend.
Yeah. I love that. Called an artificial harmonic.
Yeah.
You know, pinch harmonic or artificial harmonic. And that's you get those screams. And if you have the whammy bars, like Eddie Van Halen did that. He was like the god of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the pinch harmonic and then the dive bomb whammy bar. Ugh. Good stuff, man.
It's good. I was going to tell you, too, speaking of Eddie, his brother Alex's book came out.
So he's yes!
telling the stories. And because I don't know if you know, when they originally started, Alex was on guitar and Eddie
That's
was
right.
on drums.
That's
and
right.
And then he said the first time Eddie picked up the guitar, he just knew. He's like, it's changed.
That's right. Yeah. I'm currently reading, in my spare time, which is basically, I just have this by the nightstand when I go to bed. I'm reading a book of interviews with Eddie Van Halen.
Mm.
It's called Eruption. You
nice.
Know, interviews with Eddie Van Halen. He talks about that exact same thing. He started off on drums, and then his brother was out like doing a paper route or something like that. And he just picked up his brother's guitar and started playing.
Yeah,
and it was over from then. And Alex Hart came and saw him playing. Goes, okay, done. I'm switching to the other
yeah.
one. So it all works out for the best.
Find That's your awesome. Instrument of choice and then make that your strength. Right.
Amen. Got that right.
Which he did say. I don't know if it's in that interview. Sorry, but I've heard him say that it wasn't that he was a great guitar player. He just was. It was a science. Like he knew what to do. He knew how to solder a wire to make it do the thing to make the sound, and then he just played with what he had. So
yeah, you know. People say you know the fact he couldn't read music and he he didn't know guitar theory. He was a concert pianist.
Right.
I'm sure that Alex talks about that in his book Eddie talks about it, the fact in this book that him and his brother used to win piano contests.
Mm-hmm.
He's a concert pianist, so he took some of the piano technique and applied it to guitar.
Yeah,
you know, and he made his own guitar, so he's like a Les Paul in that sense. He's a you know the way that he designed guitars is kind of standard practice now, but
sure.
it was new back then. So. Oh, God, we can go on
anyway,
and on, but
it's for another show.
But we digress, right? All right, it's Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, and today we're looking at the readings for the 32nd Sunday of Ordinary Time. Also, this Sunday is Stewardship Sunday, so we're going to take a look at the readings in light of authentic stewardship, which is not just about money. Would love for you to join us today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
I want to say congratulations today. 9 years for KVSG, EWTN radio partner in Twips, Washington. They are celebrating as Father Pedro and so many of their family are doing their part to keep Catholic radio alive. Thanks for supporting them as well. But 9 years, big deal, as we celebrate with KVSG and your friends here at EWTN radio.
My friends, it's time to break open God's Word in this Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. This is where we reflect on the Sefer Telachim, or the Book of Sung Praises, the Hebrew hymnal, which we also use as Catholics in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, in each and every Mass in the Responsorial Psalm. Today, we're going to take a look at Psalm 103. This is a long psalm. We're not going to get through the whole thing, but we're going to start our examination of it. Psalm 103 is in book 4 of the Psalms, which is Psalms 90 to 106. Most of them are unattributed, except for the Psalms attributed to, well, the exception of Psalm 90 is Moses. The other Psalms are unattributed, except for the Psalms attributed to David. And this is one of them. Psalm 103. The prescript is very, very simple. It just simply says, of David. Okay? Can't get more simpler than that, of David. Now, this is one of these psalms. You know, when you're in prayer and you're reading a section of scripture, or you're praying, and all of a sudden you just got to stop because the Lord is just hitting you in the heart. You just got to rest in the word. That word of God just hits you. And every time, I cannot get past the first two verses of this psalm, because every time I pray this psalm, I got to stop, because it's just such a powerful way that David introduces this. And this is familiar to you, because this is even a song that we sing at Mass with these lyrics, okay? Of David, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all within me his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and never forget all his benefits. Yes, I love that. And some of you may be familiar, especially if it's in the Lead Me, Guide Me, which is the, you know, the Black Catholic hymnal, you know, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all within me his holy name. Beautiful song. With these powerful words that David leads into this song. I love this because David is, you know, usually he's in trouble. You know, Lord, help me, come to my assistance, like Psalm 70. Lord, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. You know, I'm in trouble. You know, Lord, I know you're there. You're my rock. You're my salvation. You're my strength. But here, he's just, you know, he's got to be reflecting deeply on his relationship, his intimate relationship with the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. So how are we a blessing to the Lord? He's not saying, Lord, bless me. No, he already recognizes that he's been blessed by the Lord. So now, because he's in a relationship that's it's a two-way, it's a covenant relationship, right? It's a symbiotic relationship. We're making a gift of one to the other. So how does David make a gift of himself back to God? Because that's how do we bless God, right? And he said, and not just bless God with his words, but bless God from the depths of his being, from his very soul, right? Bless the Lord, my soul, all that is within me, his holy name. Oh, man, look, I could go to adoration and just reflect on just that first verse for the entire time of adoration. I mean, look how powerful that is when you really stop and think about your life and your relationship with the Lord. And it repeats it against his what's called the synonymous parallelism. He repeats the first phrase, bless the Lord, O my soul, and never forget all his benefits. There's a different ending here for this, the second cola here, and never forget all his benefits. So he's honoring and praising God from the depths of his soul and with his mind, right? Because the mind is where we remember things. So for the soul and with his mind, remember what Jesus, the Shema, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, right? The first and the greatest commandment, Jesus says, right? And so David here, it says reflecting that. Again, very powerful, very beautiful, blessing the Lord. He continues in verse 3. It is the Lord who forgives all your sins, who heals every one of your ills, who redeems your life from the grave, who crowns you with mercy and compassion, who fills your life with good things, renewing your youth like an eagle's. David, I this is just so beautiful to me. You know, again, beautiful reminder, the Lord forgives our sins. You know, The hardest person to forgive when we sin is often yourself, right? We went to confession. We objectively had our sins forgiven, but we still feel guilty. We still feel not forgiven. You know, David's reminding us that the Lord, when he forgives, he wipes the slate clean. You know, Ezekiel chapter 18, it says that the Lord forgets. The Lord forgets our sin. He puts it behind us. And that's what we need to do. We need to be able to forgive ourselves, to put our again, not forget the past, because remember the way I like to think about it, the past helps shape us into the person we are today, but the past does not determine our future, right? A deep, intimate relationship with God determines our future, and that's what David is reminding us of.
Yeah, we can't always change the beginning. We can change the middle, and we can change the end, but that's only with God's help. And again, when others want to continue to hold us from where we were at our worst, there's a reason, as they say, the gift of goodbye. Like when you're out of a certain circle, because certain circles may have been a contributor of the decisions that you made. You were influenced in some manner. You bent your faith a little bit because, well, that's what everyone else was doing.
Yeah.
And again, letting go so that, again, the people around you, or if nothing else, just that you're in a good place when it does feel that it's just you and God, because that's the best place to be.
Exactly. Exactly. Couldn't have said it better myself. Beautiful. And it reminds me, who heals every one of your ills. Why? Because God is the divine physician. Whether that is a mental illness or a physical illness, God is the one that brings the healing. Who redeems your life from the grave. Of course, redeemed our life from the grave, because Jesus rose from the dead. Right, he conquered death. So I love that during Easter. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? You know, because God has trampled over the gates of death by Jesus rising from the dead and restoring us to life forever with him, who crowns you with mercy and compassion. Right, he's God of mercy. Dives in misericordiae, rich in mercy. Which is the second encyclical letter by John Paul II. You know, he wrote a trilogy on the Trinity when he first became Pope. Redemptor Hominis, the Redeemer of Man, Dominum et Vivificantem on the Holy Spirit, and Redemptor Hominis, Dives in Misericordia on the Father. You know, so this is beautiful trilogy of encyclicals reminding us. And again, maybe go back and reread that one, because it's a phenomenal. Who fills your life with good things, renewing your youth like an eagle's, right? And not the fountain of youth, right? You know, although you may feel young at heart, and we do have a responsibility to take care of ourselves, right? So that God can use us, use these bodies that he gave us for his honor and his glory. Not always easy, you know, and I'm the first one to put my hand up to see how difficult it is to stay in shape and eat well and remember that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, you know, but when you make that effort, God will help to renew that and God will bless that. You know, and then finally here, these last couple of verses, the Lord does just deeds, gives full justice to all who are oppressed, right? Remembering what God did for the people of Israel and the mercy that God has shown them, David is recalling that. And even with this next line, he made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the children of Israel. So when David talks about being oppressed, because remember, he was also oppressed, right? We look at 1 Samuel 18 through 28. He's being oppressed the whole time by Saul. And so he's remembering that God is the one who brings healing from oppression, just like he did for the people of Israel, for Moses, he will do for us as well. All right, Word of God Wednesday. We're breaking open God's Word in the readings for this Sunday, Stewardship Sunday. Would love to hear from you, 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986.
We need a little chill today.
Yeah. Everybody take a deep breath. Just chill.
For real, though.
Eat them up, though. Chill.
So true.
Yeah. Just just relax. Just let the music just carry like a wave. Just let it carry you. Just relax, you know. It's all good.
Actually, the thought of being on the beach right now sounds really fantastic.
How awesome is that?
I don't need a tan. I just need to be under the umbrella, you know.
Yeah, I don't need a tan either, man. So
it's true. You got the ultimate.
Yeah, I got the ultimate tan. Amen. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and it is Wednesday. That means it's Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. We're going to break open God's Word for the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time, Year B. So, that, of course, the Gospel's from Mark. And it's also Stewardship Sunday today. So we'd like to hear from you. What is it? When you hear stewardship, oh, it's all about money. No. We're talking about time, talent, and treasure. I want to hear from you. How are you using the gifts that God has given you? How are you using your stewardship gifts to manage your time, your talent, and your treasure? Just like David, we just heard in the Psalms. How are you blessing God? Mm. How are you making a gift of your life with God because by your time, talent, and treasure as a good steward of the gifts that God has given you? That's what we're talking about today on Beacon of Truth. Give us a call. Of course, we'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
I want to remind you of some of the great Catholic conversations happening at Podcast Central. Easy to find when you go to EWTN.com/podcast and click on Catholic Feedback. It's one of over 100 shows that you can stream anytime, and it's great content. This is some faith-filled podcasts that continue to spread around the world. But again, opportunities for you to hear from Keith Nestor and his team as Catholic Feedback gives us perspective on what's happening in the world and then how that reflects in our faith and vice versa. So find out more when you click on Podcast Central at EWTN.com.
All right. Very good. Well, let's dive right in. We're talking about the 32nd Sunday of Ordinary Time. We look at the readings, which is also Stewardship Sunday. And stewardship is not just about money. It's about time, talent, and treasure. How we use those gifts that God has given us to bless Him, to use our life and our gifts of time, talent, and treasure as a blessing to God. And because blessing to God, also a blessing to others. That's what we're talking about today. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We got a couple of folks on YouTube chiming in. First of all, we got Oscar. Says, good afternoon, Deacon. I know someone who's away from the church, and he's my father. His name is Jose. I try to get him back, but it's no use. I ask prayers for him. Well, we will be praying for him. And, you know, and we're going to address this, Oscar, actually tomorrow, right? Tomorrow's show, we're going to look at loved ones away from the church, you know, as we prepare for Thanksgiving and the holiday or holy day season. You know, we're going to be interacting with a lot of loved ones, many of whom are not practicing the faith. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow. But in the meantime, Jose will definitely be asking for prayers. But make sure that you're listening in and tuning in tomorrow to hear some practical things we can do to address family members away from the church. Also on YouTube, Michelle says the past gives us a false identity. Only Christ gives us our true identity, right? Beautifully said. You know, and the thing is, the false identity in a sense that when we've capitulated to the culture, we've allowed not our relationship with God, but allowed the culture with this secular ideology and moral relativism and subjective truth to mold and shape us. That's the false identity. And look at our culture today, confused about marriage, confused about gender, right? What is my identity is who I'm in relationship with. No, your only identity, and Michelle nails it, is in Jesus Christ. Not in your race, your culture, none of that. Our identity, our sons and daughters of the living God. And then Krisha on YouTube, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Amen. All right, let's dive into the readings for this Sunday. So the first reading is from 1 Kings chapter 17. And this is the story of Elijah visiting the widow of Zarephath. So Elijah goes to this town, to Zarephath, and there's a woman gathering sticks there, and he calls out to her to get him something, you know, which she give him a cup of water and a bit of bread. She goes, well, look, you know, we have like there's only a handful of flour and a little bit of oil. I was going to collect these sticks because after this last meal, my son and I were going to die. This is the last thing we have to eat. Nah, Elijah, nah, don't worry about it. God's got you. Go ahead and do as you propose. Go ahead and make your cake, but also bring me something, and then you can prepare something for yourself and your son. Well, what happens? The jar should not go empty, Elijah says, and the oil will not run dry until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And so what happened? Just like Elijah said, they were able to eat for a year. For a year. Right? How awesome is God providing for his people? You know, so I love that beautiful story, the widow of Zarephath. It says, the jar of flour shall not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry. Right? And we talk about the gifts of stewardship. We're filled with the Holy Spirit, and sometimes we have to be, you know, we have to be renewed in the Holy Spirit. That's why we have the sacraments of reconciliation and the sacraments of the life of the church renew us and strengthen us. We have relationships. We have Eucharistic adoration. You have different ways to strengthen the Holy Spirit within us. And when we're living in the Holy Spirit, nurtured and strengthened by most especially the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist, then the flower of our souls, the oil of our souls, is not going to run dry. We're not going to go empty because we'll always be filled with God's love and God's life, using our time, talent, and treasure to honor God. The psalm is Psalm 146. It's one of the Deutero Hallel Psalms, or the second praise psalm, Psalm 146. And it's all about praising the Lord, because really that's what authentic stewardship is about. We heard David talking about it just now in the Psalms, and now also in Psalm 146 is about praising the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. The Lord keeps faith forever, secures justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry, the Lord sets captives free, right? David, I think it's David in Psalm 146, where he's extolling the praise of the Lord, right? He's extolling God's praises, you know, and that's what we do when we lift our time, talent, and treasure, right? We're through the gifts that God has given us, we are becoming a gift to others. We're extolling the name of the Lord by the witness of our very lives. And then the second reading is from the letter to Hebrews, right? And love this reading. It says that Christ, that he might appear now before God on our behalf, right? Not that he might offer himself repeatedly, but now once for all, he has appeared at the end of the ages to take away sin by his sacrifice, right? So this reminds us that at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, we're not sacrificing Christ over and over and over and over and over again. It's the one sacrifice of Christ that happened on Good Friday. The same graces and the same blessings that flow from that cross we receive at every holy sacrifice of the Mass. It's not killing Christ again and again. It's the one sacrifice of Christ that we participate in every Mass, and again, take the gifts that we receive to make a gift of ourselves and our lives to others, right? And by taking away our sins, that leaves more room in our lives for God to work, right? And then finally, the gospel, the beautiful gospel of the widow's mite. He talks about looking at they're in the temple, and the treasury is there, and then the woman gives, dropped in her last two coins. She gave from her poverty. She has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood, right? So again, time, talent, and treasure. What are we willing to give to God to honor him and to glorify him? And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about authentic stewardship because it's Stewardship Sunday, right? And we're talking about the authentic gifts of stewardship, of time, talent, and treasure, because stewardship is not about money. Would love to hear from you today. How are you utilizing your God-given gifts, your talents? How are you using your time, to honor God, to being a good steward of your time? How are you using your talent, how God has given the talents that God has given you, to glorify Him and to honor God and honor your neighbor as well, and your fellow parishioners, your family members? How are you using your treasure, right? And not just about finances, but how are you using your treasure? So you're like the widow, not just giving from your excess, but giving from your means, you know. So that's what we're talking about today. I would love to hear how you are using your spiritual gifts as good stewards of the time, the talent, and the treasure that God has blessed us with. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So authentic stewardship begins with conversion, right? And we hear that word all the time, metanoia, or shub in Hebrew, means to turn your mind around. So when we have that conversion experience where our hearts and our minds are focused on our ultimate end and meaning and purpose, was a deep, intimate relationship with the Lord. The commitment of stewardship, then, is not expressed in a single act or a single gift. Okay, I've given my time, talent, treasure, now I'm done. No, it's not expressed in a single act, or even a number of actions over time. So it's not a scorecard. Okay, I gave this much money, I gave this much of my time, like you're keeping a time clock or something. You know, no, that's not the way it works, but it's by an entire way of life. That's what stewardship is. It's not a single act, it's not a multiplication of acts. It is a way of life. It's a way of thinking and acting and being. So stewardship means committing our entire selves to the Lord. So being a good steward means removing all the obstacles that prohibit us from loving God alone. That's why it has to start with conversion. And in doing so, right, when we open ourselves up to receive from the Lord, that makes us a little bit vulnerable, right? It makes us a little bit vulnerable. So that means in becoming authentic stewards of God's time, talent, and treasure, it means sacrifice, right? We have to empty ourselves so that God can fill us. We have to expose the weakest parts of who we are so God can make us strong. It means becoming blind to the ways of this world so that Christ can lead us, right? That is the foundation of how we live a stewardship mentality, how we live an authentic stewardship way of life, right? So when your pastor, your associate pastor, your deacon is preaching about this weekend, they're not just making a pitch for finances. We're reflecting on these readings from 1 Kings, from Hebrews, from Psalm 146, and the Gospel of Mark, to really understand that stewardship is a way of life, right? Not an act, a way of life. So authentic stewardship, what does that mean? It's an extension of the church's Eucharistic life and mission, right? We had the amazing, amazing Eucharistic Congress, which was the highlight of the year, when the bishops have focused on 3 years of focusing on Christ and the Eucharist, which is exactly, I think, what the church's focus needs to be on right now. And so this authentic stewardship that we're talking about today and this Stewardship Sunday is an extension of the Eucharistic life and mission of the church, right? It's all connected. So why? Because at the end of Mass, right, strengthened by word and sacrament, fed and nurtured by God's word, and then also fed and nurtured by his own body, blood, soul, and divinity, we go forth in freedom and love to be Eucharist to others, to be living signs and witnesses of the Father's love to the world, right? So the stewardship of love, rooted in the sacrament of the Eucharist, means that we must be self-gift. We must completely sacrifice ourselves for the sake of others and enter more deeply into the life of Christ. Right? So this is what stewardship is about. Yeah, money is just a kind of a part of it, but we're talking about ordering our entire lives, as stewards of the gifts that God has given us. And when we use those gifts well, we bless God. Think about that. We bless God by being good stewards of his time, talent, and treasure. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
And think about the ministries that could be born from the things that you're good at that you're not currently serving and using. Like, well, I did that for years, but not anymore. That, I mean, or the thing you're passionate about that you're good at that no one else, well, there's not anybody else in the church to help me. Well, it has to start somewhere. You know, it's like when you start a class for a certain age group, you don't wait for that age group to show up. You have to create the class so that they have a place to go when they get there. So what is it in the community that needs your talents and your time and your passions that's not there? You're filling a void. It's a special thumbprint.
That's right. And see, and what's so important about that, Ace, is you have to recognize the fact that you're in the place and in the time that you are now because God has created you to fill that space.
Right.
Fill that void. You say, well, we need somebody to do that. What if that somebody is you?
Yeah.
Right? What if that somebody is you? And that's your whole purpose, is for being in a particular place in a particular time with a particular set of skills and talents that God has given you. And we use those. We are good stewards and managers of those gifts from God. They're not gifts that come from us. Mm-hmm. We recognize that those are from God.
Yeah.
And that we honor and bless God when we use those gifts well.
Amen. Well, and I also, too, you know, what is it that maybe there's something that's already going on that you can, you may not be gifted in talent-wise, but you can give of your time. Then you learn something that you didn't know from people who do, who need your time. And then as the baton gets handed off, you know, it's, you know, for such a season, right? You know, you're serving in the role that you're in for a season. And then there's the next baton to be passed so that that person can go on to the next thing God's calling them to. So there's, again, it's like you said, it's not just in talents. It's not just, well, I can't play an instrument or I can't do, you know, I can't preach a homily. No. There's all levels within serving God's people. And I'm not even talking about at church. I'm just talking about in the community. If we want to build the world and the nation that we want to live in, we have to be the hands and feet of God.
Yeah, amen. And one of the things you can't do is compare your stewardship gifts with someone else's.
Right.
You know, because we do that as human beings sometimes. We want to compare ourselves to other people. You know, I wish I had this person's talent, or I wish I could do that. I mean, we do it as musicians, right?
Sure.
I mean, I wish I could play like Eddie Van Halen, or, you know, or something. I mean, you just can't. I mean, that he was put on this earth for that reason, to use his time, talent, treasure. But what did he do? He influenced so many other, like an entire generation of players were influenced because of the gifts that he was able to give to the world. Yeah. And in a small way, we do that in the parish level. If you're a lector, don't wait till 5 minutes before Mass to look at the readings. Mm-mm. That's not preparation.
No.
That's not using your gifts well. I mean, anybody can get up there and read.
Sure. Right?
This is a ministry. Take time. Soak in God's word days before the Mass. Make sure you can pronounce all the words. If you see Melchizedek, or, you know, you see the name of something in there you can't pronounce, get the right pronunciation.
Yeah.
Right? This is a gift. Use your talents well to glorify others. It's just like a musician. You don't wait till 5 minutes before church and start practicing the song.
Yeah.
You're practicing the week, you know, that whole week. Make sure you get the chord progressions right. Make sure you get the feel of the song right. You know, you're doing those things to prepare. And for us, in this stewardship, because the stewardship is an entire life, it's an extension of us, of the Eucharistic reality of our life. You know, this is something that we can't take for granted.
Mm.
You know, we can't take for granted.
And we get closer to God in our preparation. It's not just preparing for a performance or a, you know, public display of ministry. It is you getting closer with God as you're in that prep time. So what an amazing, I mean, it's not just about serving others, but God is serving us by going, this, you need this first, and then I need you to give it to the masses.
Yeah, amen. So we're talking about authentic stewardship on this Word of God Wednesday. We're taking a look at the readings for the 32nd Sunday of Ordinary Time, which is also Stewardship Sunday in the church. We're taking a look at the 1 Kings 17, the widow of Zarephath, the Psalm 146, the Deutero-Hallel Psalm, the reading, second reading from Hebrews, and the Gospel from Mark, looking at the widow's mite. 833-288-EW10. How are you using your authentic stewardship gifts to honor, bless, and praise the Lord? 833-288-3986. Wendy chiming in on YouTube. She says, amen. 9 years now, I am in the neo-catechumical community. I learned to play the guitar because I have my son's classical guitar, and that's exactly what was missing. Right, so that goes back to Ace's point that that we recognize our gifts, we have opportunities to use those gifts to fill that void, and you know we may be the ones that God has called in, to do that, to use our time, talent, and treasure for His honor and His glory, for what? For building up the body of Christ. That's why we do it. We don't do it for ourselves. Right? We don't do it for ourselves. Remember, it's a self-gift. The whole lifestyle of stewardship is a complete gift of self. That means sacrifice. So for me, with my travel schedule, it means I'm away from my wife and my family sometimes more than I'd like to be. But they also understand. In fact, we were talking about someone with the twins last night, that they understand what God is doing with the work that He's given me to do. And they've all been with me on trips in the past. So it's not like, you know, when they were younger, they got to go with me. They got to see what I do and experience that as well. And so they completely understand that that their sacrifice is to sacrifice time with me. And that's why when I'm home, I make this extra time. You know, we have a special daddy day twins. And in fact, I have trips planned right now for the twins and my daughter who's in California. And with my oldest daughter, we made plans just to have daddy time with each and every one. Even though they're adults now, they're adults out on their own. You know, we still made time to have that because it's precious. That's time you, again, we're talking about time, talent, treasure. That's time you never get back. So yes, I do sacrifice that time, but I also make the time. And how do you find the time? What I've found is that when you're using your time, talent, and treasure, authentic stewardship, as a lifestyle, that God multiplies your time. That God, people, how do you find the time to do this? How do you find it? It's not about finding the time. It's about using the time well that God has given us, right? And so I use that time, why? Nurtured and strengthened by the Eucharistic reality. Because it's permanent, all right? Because the stewardship of love revealed in the mystery of the Eucharist means that our love and the way we use our gifts must be permanent. Because why? God's not going to accept anything less than our best, right? Look in Genesis, you know, with chapter 4 with Cain and Abel, right? Abel gave his best. Abel just gave either from his surplus or just gave what he had left over. And God honored Abel, but not Cain, right? So because he didn't give his best. We have to give our best to God. God has given us so much in our life, the gift of our life. And we have to be good stewards of that by making a gift of our life to others. So just quickly here, how do we be good stewards of our time? Attend Eucharistic adoration. Get more involved in life of the parish. Take time to talk and pray together as a family. Right? Be good stewards of your talents by asking the Lord to help you identify your gifts and to use them to strengthen the life of your family and your parish family according to His holy will. So a father says, you know, hey, we have this thing coming up. You know, I'm really looking for someone with this particular skill set to help me. Say, wait a minute, that's me, you know, and put yourself out there and let Father know that that's something that you can contribute to the life of the parish. Be good stewards of your treasure by financially supporting the parish. You know, not out of sense of guilt or obligation, but out of gratitude to God's gift of generosity to us. Why? It's in the total offering ourselves in love that in that sublime moment of complete giftedness. We look at our look at Christ on the cross. When we can say with St. Paul, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Right? Beautiful. All right. Awesome Word of God Wednesday. And tomorrow we're going to talk about loved ones away from the church. This is always a popular topic, especially now that we're getting close to the holiday season. And remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio. And until we are together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.